Your reasons for listening to the show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Chill out. You know, drink a 7-Up. Eat a moon pie. Quit murdering people.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hope you guys are having a great day so far. Make sure you check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Tuttle. My producer, Vulture, is now back from his military obligation, so the daily podcast will now be available once again on the YouTube channel. It really, really made me realize how much he does for me, how important he is, because I'm able to concentrate on just doing the content and stuff that I want to put on the air for you guys, and he handles everything behind the scenes for me. But it's youtube.com/Tuttle. Make sure to subscribe and hit that bell button, because when you hit that bell button, you're going to get alerted to any time I go live or I upload any brand new content. Over the weekend, one of the big stories was out in Texas for Travis Scott's Astroworld. A lot of people ask me, why don't you go to big concerts? Why don't you go to sporting events and stuff? And this is the very exact reason why. And I'll tell you. I went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game with Ciroc against the Miami Dolphins, and we ended up going down. We were going to meet one of his friends, and it was right behind the pirate ship, and that was the biggest mistake that I had made all day that day, because the crowd turned into a crush, and I don't think people realize these human stampedes, these human crushes. I mean, they happen all the time. Look at the big religious gatherings they have out in the Middle East. That love parade they had in Europe. I think a couple of hundred people died during that one. And what happens is that you get pushed on top of each other. And the worst thing you want to do, you want to keep your hands up. You want to keep your hands above your head just to give yourself a little bit more room, because you can't go anywhere if your hands are pinned down because of the rest of the crowd is pushing up against you. And it's just like a boa constrictor. It just tightens and tightens and tightens until you can't breathe. A lot of people die of heat exhaustion, people just suffocating because their lungs can't expand. And there's going to be some pretty big lawsuits. Live Nation, the concert place that put it on, Travis Scott. I mean, there's a very, very long list of a lot of people that are going to get the fuck suit out of them. Just watch. It's going to happen.
What was supposed to be a night to remember quickly turned tragic. The loud music and big crowds gave way to panic, flashing lights, hospitalizations, and 8 deaths.
Do you guys think that I am not blaming any of this on the people that died, but do you guys really think that people have become just too comfortable with their lives, that they don't worry about in case this happens or that happens? I know when I go to a movie theater and it's a new one that I've never been to, and I don't know where the emergency exits are. I know where the emergency exits are in case, you know, you have a copycat murder spree or just gun shooting, mass shooting at a movie theater like the Batman or Joker killer. And I always look at that. And I always try to be aware of my surroundings. And I just really do think that we just think that everybody has dotted their I's and crossed their T's to make sure you're safe. No, guess what? That costs money. And guess what people do? They cut costs. I know that they're using all types of excuses like, oh, one of the guards was drugged. No, man, listen. People that bring drugs to a festival, they're not going to waste it on security guards. They're addicts. They're going to be taking those drugs on their own. So that's why I don't believe that excuse one bit at all.
City officials saying the victims range in age from 14 to 27.
Six of the eight family members have been notified. And we know that at least one is outside of Houston-Harris County, resided outside of Houston-Harris County.
Their cause of death unknown at this time.
Let me take a stab in the dark. Can't breathe. Organs crushed to death. Heat exhaustion. I mean, come on, people. Be smart about this. Like I said, a lot of these people that were doing these concerts, they're a little rusty. They are. They're rusty. I mean, with the pandemic and everything going on, you know for a fact that these people, they probably just hired a lot of people that had no experience in what they were doing. From what I read, they had a lot of law enforcement there. They had a lot of law enforcement there. But what I'm saying is, I'm talking about the personal security people, just the people that are supposed to be crowd control, all amateurs. I guarantee you that will come out.
Authorities saying they are looking into questions about crowd surge, concert goers being trampled, and possible criminal activity involving drugs.
I will tell you, one of the narratives was that some individual was injecting other people with drugs. We do have a report of a security officer.
All right, I'll admit if I'm wrong, but I used to be a drug addict. I used to be an alcoholic. And the last thing you're going to do when you're a drug addict is just go around stabbing random people with a vial of just whatever type of drug it is. No. That's not happening. Because guess what? Drug addicts love their drugs more than anything, especially party drugs. Now, I will admit, like if you're a dude and you see a good-looking chick and maybe you had some ecstasy on you, yeah, give her a pill. But you're not going to go around injecting people unless there's just some sicko out there. Like I said, it's not out of the realm of possibility. But for the most part, drug takers are not just giving their stuff out for free willy-nilly.
According to the medical staff that was out and treated him last night, that he was reaching over to restrain or grab a citizen, and he felt a prick in his neck. When he was examined, he went unconscious. They administer Narcan.
I can already tell, like, you know for a fact, Travis Scott's people, Live Nation, by the way, which is partially, actually, Live Nation owns most of iHeartRadio. Wonder if iHeartRadio is going to take a hit on this one as well, too. I mean, who really, really knows what's going to happen? But this sounds like a just classic heat reversal. They've already decided that, there was some lunatic, some drug addict that was going around just stabbing people with drugs to knock them out and stuff. No. You're going to do that, dude. They're just going to use chloroform. They might take a huff off the rag as well, too, before they do it. But that stuff is like pissing in the ocean to them, a true drug addict. There's so many other ways you could get past security guards. It just, like I said, this is just people covering their ass.
Fire Chief Sam Pena added that several doses of Narcan were used last night. Narcan is commonly used to treat a drug overdose in an emergency situation. The reports of victims coming in around 9:30. The event, according to authorities, was canceled and cleared by 10:10.
From the time that the mass casualty incident was declared to the first unit on scene was 2 minutes when we began to make patient contact.
And that's the thing about it. You cannot get away with anything now if something happens in public because everybody's documenting it. You know how many videos of people right when Travis Scott was coming on stage and he was like, put your hands up, and he started performing and he was like, I want to hear this mother effing ground shaking. As there were people dying less than 60 feet away from him on stage, he just went ahead with it. It looked like somebody came out and talked to him and his hype man before they got started. So I would love to know what that person said to them on stage before him. Like, hey, you might not want to do this. And Travis Scott was like, nah, mess that. I just got stabbed by a needle that some drug addict just came by. I'm feeling good. I want to make this ground shake.
That is an incredible response.
And we want to give you new information as well regarding security. As you well know, about 50,000 people were in attendance taking in Astroworld. HPD tells us they had about 528 officers here, and 755 were private security officers provided by Astroworld, the venue, and Live Nation. Now,
Oh, my God. Yeah, see, I didn't even know that they even mentioned Live Nation on this. But, yeah, Live Nation pretty much owns most of iHeartRadio, or it could be the other way around. Either way, there are a lot of really, really big companies. And if you don't know who iHeartRadio is, it's the biggest radio broadcasting company in the whole United States of America. So, yeah, they got the correct coin when it comes to lawsuits. I mean, it's just a big, juicy whale that you could go after. And to be able to have that many cops and that many personal security guards, man, they had to have cut corners. Because that you would, if there was 50,000 people out there, I don't know. Like, if any of you guys are personal security or have worked these venues, I would like to know what the ratio is supposed to be. How many security guards per, 1,000 are you supposed to have? Like, there were 50,000 there. How many cops are you supposed to have for every 1,000 people? Just to make sure that it's safe. Because I guarantee you, Travis Scott, Live Nation, the security company, they all cut costs.
We are told that Live Nation and Travis Scott are cooperating with this investigation. Authorities will now wait for the autopsy results of those 8 people that died here to determine their exact cause of death. Live near NRG, Bill Barajas, KPRC 2 News.
I brought this up on the show before. I really have. I brought it up time in and time out. Yes, medical advances have helped us live longer, but I really, really do. I always talked about this. History is so important. And I don't know why people, why is everybody so complacent? Like I said, we have become soft as just animals because that's what we are. We're just evolved animals. We all evolved from everything else in the world, and we've just become too comfortable. We just rely on other people to make sure that we're safe. And for these people, do you think if a lion, I know this is a dumb thing, but if there was a big gathering and a bunch of lions are just hanging out, you don't think that they're going to keep their head on a swivel? To make sure, a hyena clan or something doesn't, creep up on them? No, they're not. You should always, always be looking out of the side of your eye, knowing how to get out of things. Because if you wait until something happens, your percentages of getting out of that trouble go way, way down. So when you get into a place, you need to look around. You just need to look around. Be aware of your surroundings, and I think a lot of stuff like this would save a lot of people's lives. I don't want any of those European countries ever to look down on the United States for their violence. Yeah, we may murder more, but I realized this when I first started watching. Do yourself a favor. If you've not watched Luther on BBC, it stars Idris Elba. He's Detective John Luther, and he works a lot of these special cases, these weird, serial killers. You know, everybody wants to talk about the Green River Killer, the Kill Torture Bound Killer, or Torture KT or BTK, Bound Torture Kill Killer, serial killer. Yeah, we've had some pretty big ones, man, but not as sick as what United Kingdom has. Man, you remember a couple of weeks ago, I played that audio from that old lady that killed her husband, how nonchalant she was. You know, on the TV show Luther, they had a lot of very sicko serial killers. But this one, takes the cake, man. I don't want anybody in Europe to ever judge the United States. Yeah, we may have a lot of guns. Yes, we may have more murders, but you guys have got the most sick, perverted people in the whole entire world, in my opinion.
Morning. Oh, David, oh. It's the police. This was the moment the police finally caught up with one of Britain's most prolific and debauched sexual offenders.
You guys all know that I am not a religious person. I don't believe in souls. Now, I'm saying what this guy did wrong is completely horrible. And I'm not going to ruin the big secret. You know what? I'm just going to pose this question right now. Since I don't believe in souls, and once somebody dies, that's just a rotting corpse, correct? Can you commit a crime against something that is already dead? It has no feelings. It has no thoughts. Its heart isn't breathing, or his heart isn't pumping. His lungs aren't breathing. The mind's not working. So what I'm trying to say is, like, how can you commit a crime to somebody that's not alive? Do I think it's disgusting? Yes, I really, really do. And one of the questions that I'm gonna put in front of you here in just a few minutes is not me trying to shock jock. It's just me being honest and serious, because I want to ask you, what is worser? Worse. I know worser isn't a word.
We're from Kent Police. And David Fuller was arrested after advances in DNA evidence tied him conclusively to the murders of two women 34 years ago.
You're under arrest on suspicion of the murders of Wendy Nell and Caroline Pierce in 1987.
Wendy Nell and Caroline Pierce were both abducted and murdered by Fuller, their deaths dubbed at the time the Bedsit murders. Tonight, Wendy's family finally know the man who killed their daughter has been brought to justice.
It hasn't sunk in yet. It's going to take a long while.
Holy crap. What the hell did that woman... Look, I'm really, really good at kind of deciphering and understanding British accents, but Jesus Christ, this woman might as well have been speaking Spanish.
It hasn't sunk in yet. It's going to take a long while.
Although the guilty plea won't change anything deep down, as the pain and loss will always be there, it's good knowing he will not be in a position...
Do they not teach a British how to read? This guy's reading skills are absolutely dreadful. The guy's just like very, very robotic, no emotion at all while he's reading this. And also, is this even taking place in Great Britain? Because, you know, they usually have the different sounding police alarms and fire alarms, the sirens that are on the cars and the ambulances and stuff. It always goes, wee woo, wee woo, wee woo. Ours are just straight up boss ass bitch. Get the hell out of my way before I hit you with my damn bumper, cow pusher that's on the front of my cop car.
To hurt or cause any more pain.
On the back of his chest of drawers, it looks like he's got some hard drives in there, I would say.
Police also discovered a hidden cache of hard drives at Fuller's house. On it were videos of him abusing bodies in the now-closed Kent and Sussex Hospital mortuary where he worked as an electrician.
Okay, all right. So, I don't know how to word this, okay? So, what is worse? What is way worse? Somebody that has sex and is a pedophile, or somebody that just had sex with your dead relative? I mean, keep in mind, if you're a religious person, soul's not there. It is just a vessel. And I guess that's what that guy saw it as a vessel to stick his penis in, and he did it. But once again, like I said, I mean, I don't understand how you can commit a crime. Is necrophilia, it could be. I know bestiality is. But is that because it's a religious thing? Because, like I said, it's just a dead body. I know, like, look, if it was done to my family member, yes, I would be furious and I would want to kill this guy. But on the other hand, what's worse, a pedophile or a necrophiliac? There's a couple of ways you can get a hold of me, and I seriously would love to hear from you. Tuttle@gmail.com. That's Tuttle with two D's, Tuttle@gmail.com. Or leave me a voicemail, 407-270-3044.
Little did we know what we were going to find when we went to arrest David Fuller at his home address. You know, a treasure trove from his perspective of just the most abhorrent and horrendous offending against deceased bodies.
All right. I might be shock-jocking here. I'm just giving you a heads up. But if you are going to have sex with a dead body, plenty of lube, right? Because, I mean, once you're dead, you're not going to get naturally lubricated like you would when you were alive. So I'm sure not well, I got to tell you. Now, if the body started decomposing and stuff, yeah, there might be some lubrication in there. But for the most part, like right after, because this was being done at the morgue, I wonder if he was taking the body somewhere else or he was just bold enough to have sex with them right there on the autopsy table, because that takes a lot of balls.
When challenged, he admitted the heinous crimes.
I am admitting the offenses, but I don't really want to go into detail.
I hate to stereotype light talkers, but man, oh man, why didn't somebody like, hey, we need to check this dude's hard drive? Why is he working a lot of extra hours off the clock at the morgue? Why is he the one that always wants to personally put the bodies away into the little frozen storage area? Why is he carrying around a bottle of lube in his back pocket? Well, I guess you could put that in a one of those hand sanitizer bottles and play it off there if you wanted to get a quickie. There really isn't much foreplay. I don't know. This sicko probably was having foreplay with the diseased bodies. And I just don't know how you do that. Like, I mean, honestly, you would be the one doing all the work, obviously. Not unless you, well, you know what? I'm just going to leave it at that.
It's not known precisely how many bodies Fuller abused, but police believe it may be in excess of 100, ranging in age from 9 to 100 years old.
Oh, my God, man. I mean, the guy did have a, like, wide various range. Man, I mean, okay, once again, this is just another, like, serious question. Is it the same charge having sex with a dead body? Like, okay, what I'm trying to say is he went from 9 to 100 years old. Like, do bodies, like, is there, like, a, like, age limit? Like, can you get charged? What I'm trying to say, I'm trying to word this without being insensitive, is what I'm trying to say is, can you get in more trouble if you have sex with a dead body that you didn't kill because you work at a morgue and it was a minor? Or are minors and adults just pretty much the same thing when it comes to bodies, corpses? Keep in mind, he only killed 2 people. The rest of the time, he was just having sex with all the dead bodies at the morgue.
Tonight, the full details of Fuller's horrendous crimes spanning at least 3 decades are finally coming to light. His guilty plea means he faces a whole life term and will probably never leave prison. Dan Rivers, ITV News.
Anyways, like I said, I never want to hear from you Europeans that look down on us, especially the Brits. You guys got a lot of sick Fs over there in your country. And maybe it's because you guys are so reserved over there sometimes. I know there's a lot of racism and stuff. I know that you guys are pretty open. You guys say what you want. Keep calm and carry on. All that good stuff. But man, I don't know why. You guys have got the sick of the sickest living there. And you see, that's the thing about it, is Great Britain used to send all their bad people, all their criminals down to Australia. And it didn't seem like, look, Steve Irwin. I love Steve Irwin. Steve Irwin is the first thing I think of when it comes to Australia. Australia started out as a island of criminals that the United Kingdom, the British, would send all their bad people to. For all the liberal anti-gun people out there that just think that there's no need for the Second Amendment. Oh, we need to take all your guns. No, this is a prime example of why you need to have a gun on you, or at least in your house. Because I would love for Black Bear to even think about, like, stepping through the door. And I also thought NBC leaned a little bit more liberal. Notice how many times that they used the word black bear. Why couldn't you just say bear? Why's it got to be a black bear? I mean, brown bear? I mean, there's no white bears around unless you get up in the North Pole, Alaska, with the polar bears and stuff. But just a bear. But they just kept hammering home black bear, black bear, black bear. But what ended up happening was this woman who just has been going through chemotherapy surgery. I guess she wanted to get away from people during the pandemic, and she was still there. And I don't understand how a black bear, like, got into her house and attacked her. But they get, man, they make it apparent that it definitely was a black bear.
This morning, she's bruised, cut, and battered, but Laurel Roseman Hoffman-Kersey is lucky to be alive. The Bay Area local surviving a black bear attack after it broke into her vacation home in North Lake Tahoe.
He came flying in.
God, I'm wishing, praying, and hoping a black bear tries to break into the fifth wheel here at the Hobo Fish Camp. Because, I mean, we got the AR, got the Mossberg pump action shotgun, got the 9mm, got 380. So what I'm saying is, like, it's going to be a really, really bad time for that black bear. But then am I going to be accused of being the George Zimmerman of black bears? Like, because I killed an innocent black bear. No, no, hell no. By the way, I know that I said liberal. I don't support either side. I don't support conservative, liberal. I don't support any politician. So I don't want you to think this is coming from a hateful place. No, this is just me trying to make jokes, people. Just jokes. But, like, I could see it. The million black bear march on Oak Hill, Florida, because I killed an innocent black bear. No, black bear, stand your ground, castle doctrine. Yeah, it wouldn't be anything like George Zimmerman. Nothing one bit is similar to that case.
And I could see absolutely nothing. It was black.
How convenient. Blame it on the black bear. And all you saw is a paw, and you're a poet, and you didn't even know it. This woman's giving me mixed signals here. Sounds like she's a fan of, like, gangster hip-hop, but then she's wanting to pin it on the black bear.
Except I saw a paw right before he started mauling me. I knew I was being torn apart. It was just horrifying. I was screaming my head off.
She managed to throw a quilt at the bear, disorienting the animal and scaring it off.
That may be the whitest, most old lady thing that I've ever heard somebody defend themselves with. She distracted the bear, the black bear, with a quilt. And the bear was probably like, what the hell is this? This is so white. It's like kryptonite to me. A goddamn quilt saved this. Well, I mean, didn't save her from, because she got really messed up. Like, I think it bit off part of her lip.
The retired doctor then put her skill set to work, managing to dress her own wounds while yelling for help.
I should be dead. The bear attack should have killed me.
Von Hoffman-Kersey suffered severe injuries to her face and lacerations all over her body. The California Department of Fish and Wildlife say they've managed to secure a DNA sample of the bear and are currently tracking it.
Oh, my God. There's going to be some, like, because, you know, all black bears look alike, they say. There's going to be some innocent black bear. It's going to be stop and frisk. Hey, Mr. Black Bear, I need to get your DNA here to see if you're the one that attacked the old lady. Oh, what is this? I see some quilted fibers in your black fur, son. Come down to the station. We're going to swab you for some DNA to find out if you're the guilty black bear or not.
They say human and bear interactions in this part of the state are on the rise, with authorities reporting the black bear population has tripled in the last 25 years.
There's lots of bears. They don't generally hurt people. They don't want to hurt people.
Von Hoffman-Kersey had been using her cabin as a safe haven from the pandemic. She is currently battling lymphoma and says she is not letting cancer or a bear take her out.
I'm looking forward to being in remission with my cancer. I'm looking forward to having this completely heal up. And I plan to do everything in my power to make those things happen.
You need to get, like, your grandson or your husband. I don't know. They didn't mention a husband. I don't know. Maybe this lady had some man on the side or something, and he had already left. The black bear waited for the guy to leave. Black bear was trying to pin it on her little sex toy guy. No, you need to have somebody take you down right after your chemotherapy treatment and get yourself a gun. I mean, if you're going to be out in the woods, hiking, bicycling, you definitely need to have your strap on you. Like, you really, really need to have a gun on you. Because these animals, they will kill you. It's survival of the fittest. Once again, back to what I'm saying, humans have become too complacent. They've become too soft. And they don't think about these type of things. They think that, oh, I'm going to be fine. Because we really have not had any threats besides ourselves. So we just think we're going to be able to go out there and do whatever we want.
So glad she's doing much better. She can also now chew after a few days without being able to move her mouth. So according to the captain that we spoke to, bear encounters with humans could be reduced if people living or visiting areas with bears realize how strong their sense of smell is and always follow the proper protocols putting food away. That's because it's the smell of food that keeps bringing them near humans.
And for my final story, I'm not going to be one of, look, this happened in high school, okay? Now, I can see Little League. That's a great thing about baseball. Baseball has a 10-run rule. I think it's after the fifth inning in high school, Little League, all that stuff. But I remember one time in Little League, we actually had 38 runs. I threw a no-hitter against one of the police athletic teams in DeLand. And I think we ended up beating them 38-0. Now, that's 38 points. We played six-inning games. Actually, when it was in Little League, it was the fourth inning. So we scored 38 runs before the fourth inning. And I threw a no-hitter. They did not get a hit at all. And they called it a day. Guess what? Did my dad, who was our coach, have to give out an apology for beating a team that bad? Once again, back to us getting soft and complacent, not having that survival of the fittest, kill or be kill mentality. Not actually kill somebody, but, you know, have a competitive spirit, a work ethic to you. But this high school team over in California beat a football team 106-0, and the principal and the coach from the team that won is now apologizing because everybody is saying it was poor sportsmanship. What poor sportsmanship would be showboating, you know, if you were all about it, like if you scored a touchdown, you gave the ball right back to the referee or the official. But now, like rubbing it in, poor sportsmanship would be showboating, talking trash, all that good stuff. No. Guess what? I bet those kids, here, I'll give you another example, okay? When we were playing, my dad first became our coach, I think I was 14. We used to play DeLand All-Star Team. You got to realize DeLand All-Star Team ended up making it to the regional Little League World Series tournament. They ended up getting beat, though. But those guys played every single year with each other. And my dad would always schedule a once-a-week scrimmage game with them. And, man, we got our asses kicked every single week. But guess what? The score got closer and closer and closer every weekend. Now, I don't know if the other team was, like, feeling bad for us, but we eventually beat them. We did end up beating them, and it made us a better team. Because when you go against better competition, it makes you a better athlete. I mean, the same thing could be said about any aspect of your life. You surround yourself with better competition, good people, not losers, and all that stuff. You are going to be a better person. And I really think this is complete bullshit. But here's the story.
The principal of Inglewood High School is responding after her school's football team won a game 106-0.
I don't know. I think 38-0 before the fourth inning or by the fourth inning is a more of an ass whipping than 106-0 in football, because you got to remember, touchdown, 6 point, point after, that's 7, field goals are 3. Weak out by ones in baseball. So I think 38-0 is more of an ass kicking than 106 to nothing. And guess what? My dad didn't have to apologize. I mean, we weren't being little dickheads about the whole thing because my dad would not have let that happen. So what I'm saying is, like, I really think that we're teaching the students a bad lesson here by saying, oh, we're sorry that we're so good, that we've worked so hard to get where we're at. Oh, we should, you know, maybe pull back a little. No. Keep your foot on their throats.
The principal released a statement saying the team did not conduct itself with sportsmanship or integrity, and the final score was unacceptable. Inglewood beat Morningside High School Friday night. Inglewood Unified School District says it will conduct a full investigation.
Complete BS. Like, seriously, we really, really are making our kids soft as F. And it's all because everybody's got to get a trophy. Everybody's got to get a ribbon, or everybody gets a it's becoming sickening. Like, I mean, oh God, these are the type of lessons, because all kids think life is fair. I know I did. I thought life was fair. But when I turned 18 and got into radio and saw how the real world worked, yeah, it's not fair. I wish I would have been better prepared for it. And I wasn't. I was not. I'm not trying to say that my parents coddled me, but even when I was going to school in the 90s, that we did not get coddled like that. But I also thought, oh man, the world is so great. Everything's sunshine and puppy dogs. No, it's not. Life is a miserable living hell at some point. You're going to have those ups and downs. And that's what people got to learn. You're going to get kicked in the teeth. Sometimes you're going to get beat 106 to nothing, and you just got to dust yourself off, get back up, and keep going. Anyways, guys, hope you enjoyed today's show. Don't forget, youtube.com/Tuttle. I hope you guys stay safe, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchYouUp.com, and PocketBearClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Siroc. Show voiceover service is brought to you by JCVoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to paypal.me/Tuttle on the radio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3044. To follow all Tuttle social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two D's .net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
I get ignorant in normal situations.
What? What you mean?
What the fuck you mean?
What are you talking about?
Nigga, what the fuck is you talking about?
Oh, shit.